It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. You are listening to KMXT on 100.1 FM. We are your public radio station. Currently 52 degrees here in Kodiak, windy and rainy. Strike that, 54 now. We're looking for heavy rain at times today with a total accumulation of, now they're saying, between half and three quarters of an inch. Northeast wind to 40 miles per hour, gusting as high as 50 this afternoon. For tonight, rain, low around 51, northeast to 35, should decrease to 25 after midnight, with winds gusting as high as 40. We're expecting an update from the Emergency Operations Center, which we will join once it begins, followed by your local news. Coming up on the Midday Report, big plans for the AC.
All right, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us again today, September 9th, 2021. The Emergency Services Council had a scheduled meeting this morning, and the two immediate topics to relay at this time were the current mask mandate, which remains in effect. The number of active COVID-19 cases as of yesterday has dropped nearly 40% since the mandate's effective date. Today's active case count is 81. That increases our active count by 13 since yesterday. And understand that the active cases fluctuate each day as the 10-day isolation window occurs. The second immediate topic is the building occupancy capacity restrictions. We've talked about that the last two meetings, and today we came up with the same conclusion. The Emergency Services Council is following the active cases within our community. And as a result of you listeners taking an active role in reducing the community spread, there are no capacity restrictions in effect. Capacity remains at the fire marshal building code occupancy limit for your particular building. So there's comments about closing down businesses, restrictions, none of that's in place at this time. And with us again today is Amy Corder. Amy is the incident commander for COVID response at Providence Hospital. Amy?
Hello, and thank you for having me back. Currently at Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center, we have no COVID positive patients admitted. And we've been fortunate to have no COVID hospitalizations over the past week. While this is reassuring, we also recognize we're continuing to treat COVID patients in our ER, and we are experiencing delays transferring patients for other medical conditions due to lack of bed availability around the state. Locally, our numbers appear to be reducing, but this wave of the pandemic is not over, and across the state, hospitals are operating at capacity. This means locally, we anticipate continued delays and possible inability to transfer patients to the higher level of care. Knowing this, we have initiated surge plans for all patient types. As we discussed last week, our hope for Kodiak is to keep the spread of COVID to a minimum so we can maintain our hospital capacities. The strategies to reduce the spread of COVID-19 include getting vaccinated, social distancing, washing your hands, and keeping your personal circle small. Most importantly, if you feel any of the symptoms of COVID-19, isolate and get tested to reduce the spread. The symptoms of COVID-19 include fever, defined as a temperature over 100, new or persistent cough, new trouble breathing, sore throat, new or unusual body aches or headaches, runny nose, congestion, loss of smell or taste, unusual fatigue, confusion, or stomach issues, including nausea, vomiting, or diarrhea. If you are experiencing any of those lengthy number of symptoms, please isolate and get tested. Testing remains available in our community. Today, I want to briefly discuss some of the trends we're seeing around COVID hospitalizations with the spread of the Delta variant within the state of Alaska. Currently in Alaska, we're experiencing increased number of positive cases in all demographics or age groups, but we're notably seeing it in younger children and in expectant mothers. Hospitalizations in children have increased fivefold from the surge we saw last fall. We're seeing the average age of patients needing hospital care is much younger and is occurring in people who are generally considered healthy. So while we still look at risk factors, including comorbidities, that is not a determining factor in what we're seeing for hospitalization. Throughout the state, we continue to see more than 90% of hospitalizations related to COVID-19 are in individuals who are not fully vaccinated. Vaccination is a safe and effective strategy to prevent serious illness. Today, I want to share with you all a vaccination story, and I have Rachel's permission to share this story with you. Rachel is a healthcare professional who has been closely following the research around COVID-19 vaccinations. When the vaccine first became available, she was really unsure if she should get it because she and her husband were expecting their second child. After many conversations with her doctor and countless hours debating her choice, she did decide to get the vaccine series at 35 weeks pregnant. She went on to deliver a healthy child. Rachel was able in her community to get her infant tested, and the baby's blood shows COVID antibodies were passed from her decision to vaccinate into the baby's blood. This week, Rachel's older child was identified as a close contact of someone with COVID-19. And while her family is currently in isolation for the older child's quarantine, she's comforted to know the risks to her infant is likely less than it would have been had she chosen to wait to get vaccinated after delivery. I know the decision to vaccinate is often a deeply personal choice, and I encourage everyone to discuss with their trusted healthcare provider what's best for them and their family. If you are interested in receiving a vaccine, please reach out to the public health office, Walmart pharmacy, or your primary care provider for an appointment, or you can participate in one of the upcoming vaccination clinics. I know the school district is doing one later this month. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak again, and please continue to do what you can to help us keep Kodiak healthy and safe.
Thank you, Amy. The local Kodiak Walmart has donated 4 pallets of cloth face masks to the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center. These masks are sized for children and adults. Hundreds of these masks have been delivered to the Chamber of Commerce and are made available to local businesses, whether you are a chamber member or not. So call the chamber office at 486-5557. Again, 486-5557 to arrange delivery or distribution. The intent is to offer masks to your patrons in need of a mask. And this is what they look like. They come in individually wrapped packages, resealable, 2 to a package, for those of you that are online. And for the adults, they're 2 colors. One has an emblem on it, one is plain. And for the children, I believe the children is 4 and older. They're much smaller, and some of you may like the Harry Potter design. So thank you to Walmart and the Chamber of Commerce for making this available. Kodiak School District has given me a note to read for you, and I'll read that for you right now. The school district has seen a total of 5 positive cases in schools since school started last week. It is important to remember that one case at the school could generate multiple close contacts. Our bus company is experiencing a driver shortage, which may result in a reduction of available bus routes. The district remains short on available substitutes, which impacts our vitality. In the event we do experience an outbreak among bus drivers or our staff, at this time there are no reserves, and that may result in school closures. So please, as a warning, if your child is showing any symptoms, keep them home and get them tested for COVID-19. Help us to do our best to keep Kodiak Island Borough School District symptom-free. And of note, the school district will be hosting a COVID-19 vaccination clinic on September 16th from 3:30 to 7:30 in the auditorium foyer. This clinic will be open to all members of the public ages 12 and up. This brings me to our local economy. I believe this is the reality none of us can ignore. Stand back and reflect what this community has weathered as a result of COVID-19. If this virus is allowed to take control of our community again, we may lose access to our essential businesses and services. The world, including Kodiak, is short-staffed. There are job postings circulated in almost every sector. Consider what a virus outbreak in one of these areas would do to your local business. Are you reliant on other services to keep your doors open? If we break any of these fragile chains, our economy will feel the loss. Consider the importance of early education and the benefits to all of us when school is open to in-person learning. They too are subject to an already limited workforce. Consider our first responders, including our Coast Guard, our emergency medical service, our clinics and hospital. This takes a community pulling together to collectively keep this virus under control. So as Amy said, consider the vaccine benefits. Wear a mask, stay home if you're sick, please. Avoid being a close contact. And thank you for listening to us again today.
Well, we just heard Kodiak Emergency Services Director Mike Tvenge. And as he told us, the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center has reported 13 new cases of COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island Borough. 11 of those cases were close contacts of previously reported cases, and 2 were classified as community spread. 81 cases are currently classified as active locally. There are no active cases currently hospitalized in Kodiak. 1,694 cases, 69 local hospitalizations, and 7 deaths are now officially associated with COVID-19 for the Kodiak Island Borough. The former AC General Store building in Kodiak may be torn down by the Health and Social Services nonprofit, which bought the building in 2014, to make room for an expansive and modern marketplace. The Kodiak Area Native Association's acting CEO, Mike Pfeffer, briefed the Kodiak City Council on the nonprofit's plans during a Tuesday work session.
It'll be a mixed-use retail and administrative support space. Canna will occupy the upstairs space with our economic development and our job creation programs that are over at Community Services on Near Island and some of our other programs that are scattered around our other buildings. And we'll continue to use some of the space for warehousing, shipping, and receiving, which is what the facility has largely been used for the last few years.
According to Pfeffer, the new building will be built in the same 40,000 square foot area of the original, but with a second floor, which will contain office space for the nonprofit that provides health and other services in the community.
Hopefully we'll have a much newer and nicer looking building on the downtown horizon. So we're looking to support local economic development opportunities, job creation, and meeting space for the community.
The building was built in 1965, 1 year after the Good Friday earthquake tsunami leveled much of downtown. It was operated as O. Kraft & Son and sold just about anything anyone could want in the last frontier, groceries, furniture, guns, and everything in between. In the early 90s, the Alaska Commercial Company purchased the property, along with several other properties around Kodiak, and did much the same thing with it, offering general goods. They closed the grocery store down in 2014, and since then it hasn't seen much commercial use. Occasionally it's hosted Arctic care clinics, and it also acted as a warehouse for Canna, with the interior stripped of anything that would indicate it once hosted a big general store. Ron Akaragai used to be the general manager of the AC grocery store, as well as other businesses in Kodiak. He said that the property is prime real estate.
It's always been a great location, and at one time that was the viability of the downtown was tremendous, and that was the big store in town.
The new building is expected to be complete November of 2022. The first vendors are expected to move in shortly thereafter. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation will pay up to 3 months' rent for eligible Alaskans struggling financially during the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. KYUK's Olivia Eberts has details on how to apply.
The program's application period will be open from September 13th to October 3rd, which comes just several weeks after the U.S. Supreme Court ended the Center for Disease Control's nationwide eviction moratorium. A spokesperson for the program said the rent could either be applied retroactively or towards future rent and will be paid directly to landlords. To qualify, you must meet an income standard. You must make 80% or less of your region's median income. For the Bethel census area, that's less than $45,520 and less than $30,800 for the Kuzilvac census area. You must also show proof of housing insecurity and proof that at least one of your household members has suffered financially because of the COVID-19 pandemic. You're not eligible for the program if you're currently receiving Alaska Housing Rent Relief Program funds, but you could still be if you've received them in the past. To check your eligibility, head to alaskahousingrelief.org. Over one-third of Alaskans applied for the program the last time it was offered. A spokesperson for the program said if anyone's struggling with the application, they should call the program directly at 1-844-330-8290. That's 1-844-330-8290. In Bethel, I'm Olivia Eberts.
Political newcomer Dave Bronson took office as Anchorage's mayor in July, promising to take Anchorage in a new direction on COVID-19 restrictions and homelessness. 2 months into his administration, Bronson is faced with surging COVID-19 cases and an assembly that has been resistant to his agenda. Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan spoke with Bronson over the phone on Tuesday about his first 2 months in office. Bronson calls the assembly's vote against his nominee to oversee the library system a, quote, sea change.
The program's...
We had spent about 6 weeks up to that point, you know, working well together, at least on the surface, I thought, that was a change. You know, when people attack me, I expect it. In fact, if I wake up in the morning and the left is, or the assembly at least, is not attacking me, I don't enjoy that. When you attack my people, that's a whole different thing. In fact, that's an opposite thing.
Let's move on to COVID, if you don't mind. The hospitalizations are at the highest level they've been. And you've said, you know, you're committed to getting the accurate information out about COVID and not doing any restrictions or business closures. Is there a point at which you would be willing to reconsider, you know, your stance on mask mandates and business closures, things like that? Or is that just a hard no? That's just something that you'll never consider?
No.
So, you know, if we heard that, you know, people were not getting care in the ER, you know, there was waiting lines, people out the doors, things like that, you would not consider any business closures or mask mandates?
I would look at the cause of the people standing outside, and we simply need to, quite frankly, follow the science on this. And we can look at the jurisdiction over the last 18 months. Now, the meta-analysis is quite clear. Those jurisdictions, whether state, local, or national, that did shutdowns versus not shutdowns, the data is quite clear, is that the results are about the same, but the economies aren't destroyed.
And what about masking? You know, that's something that's been suggested. You know, if we do masking, it makes it a lot easier to keep businesses open and keep events going on and things like that. You know, are you willing to reconsider your stance on masking if we were to see, you know, some, you know, continued rise in hospitalizations, or is that in the same category as business closures?
Well, again, I keep coming back to the science of this, and I'm a data driven guy. I've always been that way, and if you can tell me that masks work, I know what a lot of people say. And it's like their last ditch. Well, we have to do something. And we even hear this from national leaders. We have to do something. There's no study that says masking really works, because they're not being worn correctly. masks work in hospitals because those people are, one, they wear N95s, and two, they know how to wear them, and they wear them properly. So yeah, that is helpful. But in the public, people are touching their masks and hanging their masks on their car mirror. They're not handling masks correctly, and that actually, many people believe that it contributes to the spread of COVID. So because you're touching your face very often, and I get this from doctors. So I'm not sitting here living in a vacuum. I'm talking to doctors all the time. Some of them who are afraid to come out and speak against the public, maybe political issue or perspective of mass. But they said this is ridiculous.
Dave Bronson is mayor of Anchorage. He spoke with Alaska Public Media's Lex Trinan.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Bad news for Bering Sea crabbers. More after this.
Grundin's Deck Boss 15-inch boots feature a protective toe cap, uppers that won't crack, and compression-molded rubber outsoles for better traction on wet decks. Made in USA.
Alaska's Bering Sea crabbers are reeling from the bad news from fishery managers that all major stocks are down substantially, based on the summer survey results. The Bristol Bay Red King crab fishery will be closed for the first time in over 25 years. The harvest last year had dwindled to just 2.6 million pounds. The bulk of the snow crab stock, which just 2 years ago appeared to be very strong, seems to have disappeared or moved elsewhere, according to a statement by the trade group Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers. The numbers of mature male snow crab, the only ones that can be retained for sale, showed a 55% decline from 2019. Last season, snow crab catch was 45 million pounds, but that catch is likely to be weighed down for this season. The crab group estimates the closure of the Red King crab fishery and a reduced snow crab catch could cost harvesters well over $100 million. The hit will be felt by roughly 70 vessels, over 400 fishermen, along with the processors and fishing communities that rely on the Bering Sea crab revenues. Crabbers are calling for bold action, notably by the North Pacific Council and NOAA Fisheries. They're calling on them to conserve crab habitat and spawning grounds, as highlighted by scientists over 10 years ago, with little resulting action. The crabbers also want reductions in bycatch, primarily by trawlers, and to factor in the numbers of unobserved bycatch that's currently not accounted for in stock assessments. That's likely to be in the millions of pounds of dead crab bycatch. The Bering Sea crab catches will be announced shortly before the fisheries open on October 15. Find the survey results and council documents at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by OBI Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement Number 49. This announcement was issued at 10 a.m. September 8th. The Iqaluit Bay and Outer Katoi Bay sections of the Afognak District will close to commercial salmon fishing at 6 p.m. Thursday, September 9th. As previously announced, the following areas will open to commercial salmon fishing for 78 hours from noon Wednesday, September 8th, until 6 p.m. Saturday, September 11th. The Outer Iqaluit section of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Humpy Deadman section of the Alitak District, the Eastside Kodiak District, the Northeast Kodiak District, the Southeast Afognak Raspberry Strait, Southwest Afognak, Northwest Afognak, Shuyak Island, Paul's Bay, Paranosa Bay, Northeast Afognak, and Duck Bay sections of the Afognak District, the Mainland District, and the Anton Larson Bay, Sheraton Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Terror Bay, Inner Uganic Bay, Spiriton Bay, Zachar Bay, and Uyak Bay sections of the Northwest Kodiak District. The following areas remain open to commercial salmon fishing until further notice: the Sturgeon, Halibut Bay, and Outer Karluk sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Central and North Cape sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, and the Cape Alatak, Alatak Bay, Mosher Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District. Until further notice, in that portion of the Northwest Kodiak and Southwest Kodiak districts, south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, Chinook salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Closed waters are shown on the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in the Commercial Salmon Fishing Regulations. Statistical charts, harvest strategies, and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office. Recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recorder-phone at 486-4559.
Kodiak Island Borough Assembly member Julie Cavanaugh has resigned, leaving a vacant one-year seat. Interested in serving your island home but can't commit to a three-year term? This is your chance to be a voice for your friends and neighbors. Applications are available online at www.kodiakak.us or in the borough clerk's office. Fill one out and submit your application by 4:30 p.m. September 20th to be considered for appointment to this seat. We need your vision and your leadership. Submit an application today. Here's your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 9th day of September, the year 2021. The sun rose today at 7:28. It will set again at 8:43, giving us 13 hours and 6 minutes of daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 55 seconds compared to yesterday. A record high on this date was 71, set in 1915, and a record low was 35, set in 1913. Currently 54 degrees. We're looking for a high of 56 and continuing rain and wind. The rain could be heavy at times. We're now looking for up to 3/4 of an inch of rain today. Northeast wind to 40 miles per hour, gusting as high as 50. And that wind is expected to decrease to about 25 miles per hour after midnight, but still could be gusting as high as 40 overnight. Looking at our local tides, we have an outgoing tide, an incoming tide, rather. Our next high tide here on the east side will be at 4:21 p.m. and be 9.2 feet, followed by a low tide at 10:30 this evening of -0.2 feet. Our next high tide will be at 4:42 a.m. of 8.5 feet, followed by a low tide at 10:39 a.m. of 0.3 feet. Over on the west side, and this is Larsen Bay, your next high tide will be at 4:50 this afternoon and be 15.4 feet, followed by a low tide at 11:07 this evening of -0.8. Your next high tide will be at 5:10 in the morning and be 14.2 feet, followed by a low tide at 11:16 a.m. in Larsen Bay of 0 feet. We have gale warnings all around the island. For Kodiak's east side offshore, gale warning through tonight, Marmot Island to Sitkanak, northeast 45, seas to 16 feet today. For tomorrow, northwest 30, seas coming down to 13 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning through tonight, northeast 35 right now on the Shelikof, seas to 14 feet, building to 16 feet tonight. For tomorrow, northwest 25, seas 8 feet, coming down to 5 feet tomorrow afternoon in the Shelikof. The Kodiak City Council will be holding a regular meeting tonight at 7:30 p.m. Elected officials may be participating via audio-video conferencing. Public members are encouraged to tune in here to KMXT on 100.1 FM, and the meeting will also be web-streamed, and that link and meeting packets are available at the City of Kodiak website. If you have any more questions, call the clerk's office at 486-8636.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 3 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.